Sorry I had to run. We were busy. I'm back, man, whenever y'all ready.
That was fun. Actually, I kind of wanted to hear more about your grandfather and want to kind of know how the business he was running kind of was ingrained into you.
Well, he just was raised up down around Moorhead City, and I reckon just got involved in it. And he moved to Kinley's, where he moved to years ago, and put a seafood market in there. And he had like 13 kids, and so he had a lot of kids. He went to Kinley and put in a seafood market, and that's where we've been ever since, our little crowd, you know. And we've always rode to the coast with him, I have, and been to a lot of places down there, and that's how it got ingrained in me. And I actually went into the Pepsi business and bread route business for like 15 years, and then I come back to the seafood business.
Okay.
So, you know, I was out for a little while, but it was just something ingrained in me, and all our family has seafood markets, so
yeah.
I reckon it's just one of them family deals where I just wind up back in the seafood business.
Was it like a family business per se? Did y'all like hire out at all, or did everyone in the family work?
It was basically everybody in the family at his fish market. Now, some of his siblings, youngins, went out and got their own seafood markets and hired other people that weren't family, but basically his fish market was just all family, because like I said, he had so many kids and stuff, so, and grandkids, so that's what run the seafood business.
Yeah.
Was us, basically.
And y'all, like, passed down the skills, basically.
Yeah, yeah. He, as one would turn 16, one of us grandkids, he would run us to the coast and back, and we would, you know, run the coast, run a little seafood route the next morning, going to different little towns like Lewisburg and Knightdale and places like that, just hauling fish for him back in the day. But that's basically how we got, you know, into it, or I got into it, is through family.
Yeah.
Just staying in it all our life and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running to the coast, though. The coast is beautiful. Was there any, like, certain spots you fondly remember?
Well, the coast is beautiful, but the thing about when we went to the coast, people said, you're going to the beach, and we would say, oh, no, we're going to the coast. There's a difference in the beach and the coast. Where we went to, the fish house is way back in the back part of the sound and stuff, where there ain't no pretty beaches and stores and stuff. It's just remote, you know. There's nothing out there. And I would leave. He would tell me to leave at 11 o'clock, knowing that the boat won't gonna be in the 7-8 o'clock that night. But he just wanted me down there in line so they could see me. He would say that I'm there waiting. So the boat would get in at 7. They'd pack it, take them 2 or 3 hours. I wouldn't get home a lot of times till like 12, 1 o'clock at night, you know, when I was 16 or 18, driving the fish truck.
And you were still going to school?
Yeah, going to school, yeah, all this time, yeah.
And were, like, your other siblings and or his other grandchildren doing this too?
Yeah, he had, like, 3 pickup trucks, and I had other cousins, you know, and I had one brother that would drive a truck or two, too, and we were all be going somewhere most of the time.
Wow, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun, but yeah, it was work. And, you know, like I said, when you say you're going to the coast, a lot of people think you're going out there to have a good time. And going to the coast is actually working for us. It wasn't that fun.
No, I see that. But those kind of businesses, they don't really work today, right? That's what you're talking about earlier.
Right, yeah, yeah. And I'm glad today that I went all them times, because now I know a lot of things that I wouldn't have known, and that helps me in my business today as far as going back then, because like I said earlier, I know these people and I can go see them and get stuff that I need today because of the relationships I built with my grandfather going down there as a kid, you know, with people.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a good deal. It's been a good deal.
Would you say that, like, those relationships, have they been passed on to their, like, family as well, so it's kind of continued to...
Yeah, it's like, I tell people I won't raise that the coast, but I feel like I was just about raised at the coast because I've been down there so much picking up seafood, you know, since I was such a young boy and all. So, to me, like I said, it's maybe like a second home.
Yeah.
Because I go down there so much, I know them people as good as I know people, you know, come into the store and all. So it's good for relationships and, you know, rapport and stuff. So
yeah,
it was a good deal.
Do you, like, see some of those, I guess, the coastal way kind of fading away, though?
Yeah, a lot of that is, yeah. Yeah, a lot of it will be because the resources ain't there, whether it's overfished or the regulations not letting them fish. You know, they have different opinions on each side about that, but it's changed for sure a lot from when I was a kid to now, which is 25, 30 years. That's, you know, a lot of change has gone on. Maybe it's helped, but I don't see where it's helped a lot, the commercial fishing guys, as far as that goes.
Yeah. What, can you kind of sum up the two sides of it?
Well, of course, the commercial guys, they want to support their family, which they've been doing all their time. And these people that, well, I don't mean these people, they're great people as far as they go, but people that work inland, they want to go down there and they're making all their money inland, and they want to go down there and run the people off, is the way I see it, get them out of the way so they can fish and enjoy their weekend and then go back to Raleigh or wherever they go to do their work and make their money, but don't want the guys that were raised on the coast, that's how they made their living, you know, it don't work out as far as I see. They aren't the, you know, to me, the recreational man deserves to go fishing, but the commercial man ought to have a right to make a living and feed his family also.
Yeah.
Without a lot of restrictions and stuff.
Yeah.
It's sort of the way I see it, which I'm on the commercial side, so I'm sure I'm favoring the commercial side, but that's just the way it is.
No, understandable.
Yeah.
But who do you think kind of like instigates more of the regulations, I guess, on the size, or is it kind of a both?
Well, the Division of Marine Fisheries and then the federal government is all about the restrictions and stuff, and it's supposed to be to better the coastal environment and all, and like I said, I'm all for that, but you can't do it at a price to put the families that were raised down there, and that's their only means of living, is all they know, is to just expect them not to be able to make a living. You know, that don't seem right to me neither.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. But on each side of the argument, you know, you got yays and nays as far as that goes. But me being in the fish industry, of course, I'm all for the commercial guys.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I make my living and pay my bills. So
yeah.
I'm all for that.
And do you think the federal government's kind of come in more, like, environmentally? Or do you think it's been more an economic reason pushing them?
Economic, probably the bottom line. The dollar's always the bottom line, I think. But they do some good, I'm sure. But to me, it's just the bad's way to outweigh the good as far as, like I said, the commercial guy side of it.
Yeah.
Because, like I was saying earlier, it's just like, to me, you know, telling me I can't work but 3 days a week when I can't fish but half the time I've been fishing and take some money out of my pocket.
Yeah.
If I was to fish. I'm talking about the commercial guys that actually do the fishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, does it even actually prevent overfishing? Because people are still going out there to fish. So.
Right. Well, they done a study one time on the speckled trout, the recreational man versus the commercial man. And they say that the recreational man was catching just as many as the commercial man was. And that's one reason I reckon they've got to restricting everybody a little bit on that, you know. And they won't never get together on that, you know. The recreational man wants what he wants, and the commercial man wants what he wants. So I understand both sides. You know, the recreational man has definitely got a right to go fish and enjoy the water, but at the cost of, you know, the commercial man's living, I don't, you know, that don't seem quite right. But
yeah.
That's just the way it is going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think, like, these kind of bills they're pushing, you know, to limit certain fish to, like, just recreational and commercial, do you think that's right?
Well, sometimes maybe. The biggest thing is, I think, is they could make some laws that would help, some laws don't. Like them big trawlers, I can understand having a law that the big trawlers don't go through the sound and take everything. Like maybe let them start 3 or 4 miles offshore or something. But a gill netter or somebody like that that sets nets at nights and goes pull them in the morning, you know, they shouldn't restrict him so bad.
Yeah.
Because he's not really taking nothing, not everything. He's just taking what basically he's fishing for.
Yeah.
Instead of taking all the baby croakers, all the baby fish like a big trawler does.
Yeah.
So I can understand that part of a trawler, you know, having rules and regulations. But I think they just need to figure out which rules and regulations fit which one's the best, you know.
Yeah. Is there any, like, rules and regulations on, like, the transportation of fish that affected you at all?
Not transportation-wise, no. You have to have license and all, you know, to sell and stuff, but you do in any business, so that's not a big deal. The biggest thing would be, like, transporting them to the store and all. You have to keep them on ice to keep them good and fresh. So once we get back with them, we'll have ice machines out back in our cooler that makes ice, and we turn what I call turning fish. You actually put ice in the bottom of a box and take your fish and take them out and put them in that box and ice them on top and in the middle real good and keeps them good and fresh, because you have to keep ice on your seafood and stuff.
Yeah.
So it don't get hot and spoil them.
What are, like, the times that fish kind of come in for you, I guess? Because don't they kind of catch them more early in the morning?
Yeah, they do. They'll set their nets overnight most of the time, and in the morning they'll pull their nets. So they'll come in what they call a gill net or a pound net, is they carry them out there at night, leave them overnight, have to pull them, be out of the water by sunrise. That's one of them regulations we were talking about. And the pulling the nets and all, you know, is part of it. And they usually have them out and done. And then on, like, they have long haul crews where they leave in the morning and go sprinkle bait out and then wrap around. It's like two boats that take a big net and wrap around. Mm-hmm. And they use pulley systems on that boat, and they'll pull all of them up and dump them in what they call a run boat, which is a basically a cooler boat where they got ice in, they pour them on and ice them up, run them back to the fish house on that run boat, and pack them out of that into fish boxes. Mm-hmm. And that's where I'll pick them up, bring them to my place, like I was saying, and then I'll re-ice them, put them in my cooler to make sure that they're good until I sell them, which usually takes a couple of days at the most. And then I run back for more fish, and trying to buy them all on Monday, saying, and having to last all the way to Friday and Saturday. I like to go Monday for, like, Tuesday and Wednesday, go back Thursday for, like, Friday and Saturday. That way I keep good fresh fish around. You know, it's just the way we do it.
Yeah, but it's kind of like a
24-hour
thing, though, trying to work.
Pretty much. It's running any business, I'm sure, but this, too, is like 24-7. You know, you could be home on your day off thinking you got the day off, and somebody calls, well, we caught some pretty sea mullets, or we caught some spots or whatever, and you have to leave and go get them, because that's just, you know, the way our business is.
Yeah.
There's no – people would like for it to be like a factory deal where you could – just call up a factory and say, I want so many big spots, but you know, don't realize that it's nature, and you get what you catch. They're not all one size.
Yeah.
You have small, you have medium, you have large, but of course everybody wants the large. But that's, you know, just how it works.
Nature, I think that's like a thing people forget about nowadays.
Yeah, you don't produce fresh fish, you catch them, so you don't have no way of making them a certain way, certain size, or nothing else.
Yeah.
But they want it to be.
Do you like how it's a 24-hour business like that? Do you ever get tired? Or?
Being how I was raised in it, it don't bother me that bad, because, I mean, it's when you work, you have to work in anything. So we're fortunate, you know, just to be able to work, I reckon, nowadays, the way things are. So
yeah.
We try not to holler and fuss too much.
Yeah.
But every once in a while we do, especially about regulations.
Feel that. Yeah, I don't know, that having to, like, get up earlier in the morning to get the fish down, bring it back here, and time things right with, like, your lunch crowd, that seems like a lot of time management that goes
into it. It's work, because you don't never know. Like I said, if the boat gets in so late, sometimes at 12-1 o'clock I'll wait and go the next morning, like you were saying, and I'll have to get up and leave at 3 o'clock in the morning to be back here by 10, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then other times, like I was saying earlier, you'll leave at 11 o'clock in the middle of the day at 12 o'clock, and the boat comes in, and, you know, you'll be back in the middle of the night. Nothing is set in this business, that's for sure. You sort of, when you're dealing with fresh produce or fresh product like seafood and stuff, it's nothing set. When, you know, if they got them, you go get them. If they don't, you sort of close the door for a couple of days till they do get them.
Yeah. I know your wife works with you, so you still see her, but do you think your personal relationships with other people have suffered because you kind of run by your...
No, I would think it is actually not in every case, but in our case, I think is helped us. I mean, we bonded and got closer, I think, being together all the time, you know. So I don't think that's really hurt. If anything, it's helped our relationship instead of hurting it, you know. But a lot of folks can't work together. Even family, as far as that goes, can't work together a lot. So I understand the perception.
Yeah. What about, like, community-wise? Do you think that, like, since you own this great, like, fishing, like, shop that people can get fresh fish from and, you know, somewhere that's not quite the coast, do you think that's kind of, like, bonded you more to the community?
Yeah, I'm sure it has, because a lot of people, you know, like you said, in the community, they come to us because they know that if we don't have the fresh stuff, that I'm going to close the doors and wait another day instead of trying to sell them something that ain't right, because you lose a lot of businesses, customers, and you don't want to do that in business. So sometimes you had to bite the bullet, as they say, and, you know, close a couple of days and come back when things are better. So
yeah,
that's what we choose to do instead of trying to sell stuff that's going to upset people and, you know, make them not want to come back. So we don't want that.
So, well, you were saying earlier, you have a lot of loyal customers, right?
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of loyal customers, and we're thankful for them, that's for sure. Because I tell people, as my grandfather taught me, the people coming through the front door pay your bills. So treat them and respect them like they do. So that's what we try to do.
Yeah.
When they come through the door, we're speaking to them, talking to them, and you've seen that today. As soon as they open the door, it's, hey, how you doing, and talking to them. A lot of people don't do that. Act like they appreciate your business and all. But we try to make sure that you know that we appreciate you coming here, because you could spend your money anywhere.
Yeah.
That's right. So we try to make sure they know we appreciate them spending it here.
Yeah. No, I think it is kind of like a dying thing. You don't get that personal interaction much any days.
No, you don't. A lot of places you go to now, just, you know, what you want, get on out the door, you know, like you're bothering them.
Yeah.
And that's the last thing we want. They're not bothering us. In fact, I had a call yesterday. A lady was asking me about these sea mothers. And she said, I'm not bothering you, am I? I said, no, ma'am, you call me every day as many times you want to. That's what I'm here for. So you're not bothering me. Bothering me if she don't call me. You know.
No, I see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm from the coast too, so like the relationships you have with people, it's what really help, you know, communities, and I kinda wish they had that more, like, in place, having that, like,
Yeah, you don't get that personal touch, I think, like you used to so much, you know, somebody that, it, you know, acts like they care, you know. A lot of people don't, you know, hey, get what you want, get out of my way, I got this to do. The way the world's becoming, everybody's so busy.
Yeah.
It's just so much faster pace.
Why do you think that's happened, I guess?
I really don't know. I'm just assuming, you know, with all the technology and everything now, the way things is going, it's just a faster paced world than, say, it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, which I'm older too, so I like the slower pace, you know, the faster pace. Is, I'm not a big crowd person, so that's what I like about the coast. I can get down there where there ain't a lot going on and be, you know, not by myself, but not in the middle of 100,000 people.
Yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
No, it don't to me neither. I like the slow pace.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the slower pace.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know why, like, there's been such a, I guess technology would be a big factor.
Yeah, and just things, you know, evolving. So, I mean, you know, it's expected, but, you know.
How do you think the fishing industry is, like, evolved or is going to evolve more?
Well, it's going to evolve, but it's going to go from more fresh catching fish, from ocean fish, to more like pond-raised fish, like, your pond-raised rock fish they have now. They have pond-raised shrimp. They have the pond-raised catfish. So eventually I think it'll get where they'll have, like, pond-raised sea mullets, maybe a flounder eventually. And I think eventually it's going to be more or less something like that, a combination of both maybe.
Does that, like, affect the size and the taste of the fish at all?
To me, it does, because it's just like if you're feeding chickens or hogs or pigs or livestock, you're feeding them feed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're raising these fish in ponds, they're not out eating naturally. They're eating pellets of grain and just like a hog would or a chicken, you know. So once you cut them fish up, you're going to taste that. To me, the mud and stuff in the pond instead of the salt water, you know, there's going to be a difference because even I used to sell a few pond-raised striped bass, and I had customers complain that that's what they complained about. They could taste the feed and the mud in them. So I don't know how it's going to work out, but eventually I think that's how, you know, it'll be a lot of pond-raised stuff. They might figure out eventually where they could put salt water in the ponds to sort of make it a, you know, salty tasting fish instead of a fed fish, you know.
Well, if people don't like the taste of it, though, won't there be a demand still for, you know, fish in the ocean?
Yeah, because, yeah, they will be, but I think it's like anything that they've got ways to salt and bring some of that taste out of it so it won't be so bad. There's one company was telling me that they've started putting all their catfish in like a big pool of salt water for like a week before they started dressing them and stuff to take the feed out of them and give them the salt water taste. It's Carolina Catfish in Aden. They were telling me that they do that to their catfish now, you know, just started doing that to sort of taste of pond raised stuff out of them and taste more like a coastal fish with salt. So you never know, you know, they may perfect something like that and it may be fine. But I've seen pond raised shrimp, they don't look nothing like a ocean shrimp. They're a little short and stubby, you know, where a ocean shrimp is, you know, clear and pretty.
Yeah.
It looks a lot different than an ocean saltwater fish shrimp. Mm-hmm.
Well, if that ever happens, do you think you'll continue in the fishing industry if it does go more pond raised?
Yeah. We'll have to evolve with it. We'll just have to, you know, start selling them and see how it goes. But I think as long as I'm living and in the business, that I'm going to be okay. It's just going to be 20 years from now, you know, when somebody else is trying to run a seafood market. It's going to get harder, I think, as the years go because of the supply of fish and two, the limit, you know, of catching fish and stuff, or the rules and regulations that they have.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, eventually it's all going to come to a head and it's just going to be, I don't know what it'll be. I think this is a dying breed, you know, as far as being able to come in and pick your fish out of a retail seafood market and go home and fry them. I think days are numbered on something like this.
Yeah.
Eventually.
But until that happens, you're going to go strong.
And that's why I got my son in school like you girls, so he don't need to be in the fish business. He needs to get his education.
Did he ever want to go in the fishing business?
Not really. He's come over here a couple of times, but he don't really know nothing about it because we've sort of wanted, as most parents, wanted more for him. So we don't want him to do this, really. We want him to do what he's doing, which is get his education and not worry about this, which I don't think this would be around for him, no way.
Yeah.
If that was the case, we would have to go ahead and put in that restaurant I've been talking about, and he could take care of it. But he's got other plans, so, and I'm glad he does.
Do you think the restaurant is going to happen?
If you stay in it, you'll have to. But like I said, I think that I'll make it, but there's a lot of people that's going to go to just restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, selling fish plus whatever else, chicken, burgers, everything. It won't just be seafood, you know. But I have an aunt that at Smithfield, and that's what they do is they used to fry just fish. And now they've started incorporating chicken, pastry, burgers, hot dogs, just like any other restaurant. But used to it was just seafood only, you know. So, you know, they had to evolve too and just start selling, you know, a little bit of everything to make their business better. Which, like I said, at our age now, which we're not over the hill, but we just don't need to, you know, want to get started in all of that now. If we were 25 again, we might would, but we don't need to get in and all of that right now.
Yeah. Was there anything you'd like to add more about, you know, your fishing business and what makes it so great to have North Carolina?
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about living here in North Carolina and being able to run down so close to the coast and get fresh seafood and fresh shrimp and crabs, because a lot of people inland don't get that luxury of being able to eat fresh seafood like this. And they eat seafood, but it's probably been frozen a few days before they got to them or something like that. To be able to go down there and get seafood and eat it within 24 hours, you know, that's doing pretty good. Last week I had some rockfish in here, and a lady won't go and buy one, and one of them moved when we were up there. So I had just come back from the coast, like 2 hour trip, and they just had packed them. And the fish, his fins and all started moving, and that lady couldn't believe that I had a fish in here that was still basically living because he was moving, you know. But that's how fresh we try to keep our fish. You know, we don't have them all like that, but once in a while, I'll be down there, and they'll just come in with them where they just caught them, and I'll bring them here, and they're still moving, and it looks real good on me because they know it's fresh stuff then, you know, which is great. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, it's been I've enjoyed it, you know, working in the seafood business, and because I don't like to be shut up in one place, so I've been able to ride on roads and go to the coast and meet different people, do different things. And to me, I like that better than being shut up, you know, and here for 10 hours or 8 hours and can't go. And so it does, you know, I've enjoyed that part of it, and it's been fun. I mean, of all things I've done, is I've enjoyed this just as good as, say, the Pepsi business I was in or anything like that. So it's been, you don't get rich, you pay your bills, and that's all you can ask for.
That's all you can ask for.
Yeah. So we're happy with it. Yeah.
Yeah, well.